This is Harry Murray at Murray's Flash Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Let's do our podcast for November. This is what I expect will be going on because it's what we normally encounter at this time of the year. The brook trout, of course, are still spawning, so we really don't like to fish for them when they're there, even though we're going to put them back in. But at this time of the year, there can be some wonderful streamer fishing in the large streams. The Spuddler, which was developed by two of my friends in Livingston, Montana many years ago, was one of the first real sculpin patterns we had. In those days, the people around Livingston called it a bullhead. Well, Donnie Williams, who was one of the guides there in one of the fly shop, and Red Monica was one of the part owners there, took two of the flies that we were using a whole lot as a bullhead imitation and cross the two up. Well, in those days, we used the Muddler and the Spruce Fly. Well, Donnie and Red decided they incorporate that into one fly. So instead of using the Spruce Fly and the Muddler, they called it the Spuddler. Now, needless to say, Red didn't go any place on a scholastic scholarship, but out came the Spuddler, which was, and probably still is, my favorite big sculpin pattern on the Yellowstone River. Not only on the Yellowstone, but the head and rally of the Jackson here in Virginia. It's an excellent pattern there. I've had great success with it up in the Chateauguay, up in the Adirondacks, the O'Connell Lefty down in North Carolina. It's very productive in all those big streams because it does look and act like a real sculpin minnow. Now, if you're not familiar with the sculpin, it's a bottom-hugging minnow living under old cobblestone-sized rocks, volleyball up to basketball-sized rocks on the stream bottom, in the heavy riffles and maybe for the next 100 feet downstream for the riffles. But it's a bottom-hugging minnow. So what I like to do is come in over on the side of the river, be right below that riffle, and cast across stream and strip my fly back real slowly. I strip it 6 inches, maybe every 10 or 20 seconds. I want to swim that along the bottom of the stream, making a little longer and a little longer and a little longer cast. And then I'll work my way down the river, pausing about every 10 feet. And this is a very effective technique because it's going to show you that fly to every big trout out there, and they go for it in a big way. Now, normally I'm using a floating line for this. If the current is real fast or the current is real deep or the pool's a high, real deep pool, I'll go to a fast-sinking head, such like the Scientific Angler Sonar Sync 30 in 200 grains. Now, that goes down about 4 to 8 inches per second, and that'll let you swim that fly right along the stream bottom. Now, I do use our floating, with the floating line, I'm using the 9-foot Bright Butt 2X leader. With the sinking line, I'm using our Murray's sinking 6-foot 2X fluorocarbon leader. So that really helps you. Now, once you get away from the head of the pool, the tail of the pool can be exceptionally good. I use the Murray's Black Marauder in about a size 8, and the last 100 feet of that pool, fishing them down and across with that same type action. I fish the water close to me first because many times as you're working down the tail of that pool, there'll be some big fish lying now 20, 30 feet off the bank. I land those back in there, then I gradually work my way down until I start hanging up in the lower part of the pool. So that, I also want to cover that in all the pools. The river pools that I just mentioned, like those out west and those up in the Adirondacks and down in the Smokies, that's an effective technique in all of those. Now, another place that's good with streamers on the bigger streams are the undercut banks. We'll say on the far side of where you're entering the river. You're entering the river on this side, you look over, and the riffle up above is shooting some current into that far bank. Well, when it does that, it undercuts that bank and provides some excellent overhead cover. The big trout, especially if you've got some big browns, they will get back under that overhead cover, feed on anything back there, and you can really take some big fish over there. A lot of the minnows back under those undercuts are called a silvery color. So I use the Murray Silver Ghost in about a size 6 for this. The strike, well, you want to cast that fly right against that bank. Strip it out real slowly now. But the strike will usually come within the first 5 feet because that's where that guy is holding. I fish it all the way back to me, but I really expect the strike just as soon as it gets underwater practically. So those are the three areas. Those are the flies I use, and we usually have good success with that. Now, let's look at what goes on in the bass world. Admittedly, the water's getting cold. Now, I use flies that'll sink fast. When I need to, I go to a sinking line, a sinking head line. The conehead marauders that we've been playing with are very effective. Now, the bass are really going to want to feed on something that gives them a good mouthful. They're not going to fool around with little tiny minnows, little tiny Helger mites. They want a mouthful. And a lot of times you can duplicate that with that pearl marauder, the pearl conehead marauder, the black conehead marauder, or the olive conehead marauder in about a size 4, and that is a mouthful. Now, since their metabolism is so geared down, you want to look for feeding stations on these bass that lets them get the maximum amount of food for the least amount of effort. One of the most dependable areas for me here in the Shenandoah drainage is the back eddies. Now, the back eddies form below the riffle. All right, the riffle is shooting down into the pool. The main riffle is going to shoot on through and head on down. Now, on the slow side of the current, not where the major riffle's running down through there, but the opposite of that, the slow current side of the river, is where the back eddies form. These back eddies may be 5 to 10 feet in diameter, or they may be, we've got plenty of them right here on the North Fork, they're 50 to 60 feet in diameter, and they may get up to 6 to 8 feet deep. Now, that is playing right into the bass's game because it's given them a tremendous number of big minnows. It's given them a slow current, and you can really, that's where we take our biggest bass at this time of the year. Now, let me tell you about that. You can either weight it or float it. Now, when I float these areas, I come down, we'll use our high drift boat, and we'll anchor. Let's say we got one of those big back eddies, 50 feet in diameter. We'll anchor the high drift boat about 30 feet out from the upper end of that big back eddy. From there, we'll fan our cast with those conehead marauders back through there, try to cover every foot of that pool, and then we'll pick the anchor up, slip down about 10 feet, and go again and go again and go again, and we'll slide down there 10 foot intervals covering everything as we go, and you're going to show your fly to everybody out there. That doesn't mean you're going to catch every bass in that big back eddy, but at least he's going to see it. Floating lines or sinking lines, I have both of them right in my vest. It's going to depend on the speed of the current as well as the depth of the water. Sinking head, like those sonar lines we were just talking about, that sink at about 4 to 8 inches per second. That'll take you down pretty quick. I always try the floating line first, but if I'm not catching fish and I'm not getting them down deep, then I'll go to that sinking head, because going down at 4 to 8 inches a second is going to get you down deep. Now, sometime I'm by myself and I'll be wading the river. What I do when I'm wading the river and come to one of those back eddies, I stay close to the bank. I'll be in the river, but I might not be more than 2 or 3 feet off the bank. I'll stop just as I enter the upper part of the back eddy. From that position, I'll fan my cast out across everything I can reach from there using that same technique, using that same fly. And after I've covered everything I can reach there, I'll just wade downstream, stopping about every 5 feet, and fan them out across there. And once they're on a stream bottom, I strip them back real, real slowly. And again, sometime I'm doing this with a floating line. Sometime I'm using my sinking head line to do this. But this will get you some big bass at this time of the year. Now, those are both very effective techniques for both the bass and the trout. If you have any questions on any of this, please ring me back at the Fly Shop at Edinburgh, which is 540-984-4212. Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh. Thank you a whole lot.